I mentioned earlier how the club has prospered throughout its history as a result of the long-term commitment of club stalwarts. Well, our next speaker played his first game for Gloucester in 1956 and his second in 1959. But he went on to make 190 appearances and captain the club. He's since applied his considerable management skills to the administration of the game at club, county and national levels, and is currently the president of the club. I refer, of course, to Alan Townsend.
Good afternoon. I feel quite honoured and flattered to be standing here this afternoon. I can well remember many years ago when I was playing at Cheltenham, when a friend of mine, who is still going strong at the age of 90, Peter Woodworth, said to me, he said, Alan, he said, you know, being a prop forward, you'll get the farthest knowing the least. And I think I come into that category. But the years go by, and I've been very fortunate that I was introduced to rugby at Cheltenham Grammar School when I was 11 years old. And it has been one of the most enjoyable backbones of my existence in rugby. Thinking back, you always remember the first times you were introduced to the games. And at Cheltenham Grammar School, it was a very good rugby school. You remember the coaches in your junior coats and senior. We had the chemistry master coach the junior school, Claude Thomas. A Welshman who coached us in the coats, Taff Powell, and the most senior was our art master, George Ryland, who introduced us to rugby as it was. And as the years have gone by, it's been first class. I was, I think, even in this room here, when you think that this was acquired in 1905, and the captain in 1906, was, like myself, a foreigner. He came from St. Paul's College, Cheltenham, by the name of Di Gent, and I came from Cheltenham to Gloucester, and I was a foreigner. To have come 7 miles in those days and play for Gloucester, you were outside. Because the pride of Gloucester, and was for many years, that the team usually existed mainly of Gloucester boys who were born and bred within 3 miles of King's Home. If they're outside that area, it was very unusual. In my case, I suppose, I have been honoured to be called the president, but I feel that the word that has come in recently is ambassadors, and together with Peter Ford and Mickey Booth and myself, I think we're the ambassadors at the moment. Peter Ford, who's just been awarded for his services to Gloucester after 60 years, is a great achievement. And after that, Mickey Booth. I am not the eldest captain alive. The oldest captain who is still alive is George Hastings. And he was captain here in 1954. And I was thrilled in that year to play my first game for the county when I was 21. And in the front row with me were two Gloucester captains, Cyril Thomas, who was captain in the mid-50s, and George Hastings himself, who was captain in 1954. So it has gone through, and I was fortunate in a way that in the employment that I worked in, we're good sports supporters. It wouldn't be quite the same today because in banking as it was now, which was almost a dirty word, if anybody asked me which industry I was supporting, I'm an estate agent. But it was, they had true rugby supporters. All the managers were excellent, excellent. They came mainly from public schools. My first manager at Cheltenham was a chap called Len Dash, and I will remember that he was a fanatical rugby supporter, second row forward. And when I was a cashier on the counter, he would come occasionally, because we worked in the banking on Saturday mornings in those days, and he used to come to me and say, "Don't worry, Alan, I'll balance your till." And away I used to go either to Llanelli or some long journey, and fear until the Monday morning when I realised that he'd balanced the cash and all was well. I then got moved back to Gloucester in 1950, and the manager there was a chap named Malcolm Thompson. He wasn't keen on his support, but I knew he supported me very much. And why I can remember, I think it was about the only time that I claimed a small expense when I ran from the bank to get on the train to go to Newport, which cost me about 2 and 6 pence, and I claimed the 2 and 6 pence on the Monday, which was, I think, in all honesty, like Peter Ford Hotel, we didn't claim expenses in those days. It was an honour to play for Gloucester, and we were honoured to play for Gloucester. But on that particular occasion, I rushed, got down to Newport, put my hand on my pocket, and I had half the bank keys from Martin's Bank, Gloucester. I thought, well, I'm in trouble now. So I had to ring up from Newport, and he had to arrange to get the duplicate keys out of the bank. But on the Monday, there was no aggro. He didn't tell me off. He accepted it, and that was it. But that was the beauty of playing for Gloucester. But Gloucester has been a great club, and there's no doubt about it. You go through thicks and thins, but over the terms of its history in the long association, it's never had a down, really down period. In every 10 years, you've had great players who play for England. You've had great histories, great records, and here we are now, where this building was built in 1905, and it's been beautifully renovated now with all these mementos around the walls, which tells you the whole history of Gloucester over the last 100 years. And what with the fortunate team which under Gary and Malcolm have done is magnificent. And in a way, we owe a great deal to Tom Walkinshaw, because in the early 1990s, when it was going from amateur to professional, we had a little bit of a low edge at that time. The club was one of the most financially viable in the last days of the amateur period. And then came the professional period, and money went fairly quickly, and they needed a sponsor. And we were fortunate enough that Tom Walkinshaw came along and didn't bail us out, but he was wise enough to have invested in the club. And also it was Tom Walkinshaw that had the idea of financing the new stand, which was built in a very quick time in the close season. And because of that, the 21 cases turned up. You had the excellent team of Gary and Malcolm and the many helpers that started this project, which is an ongoing thing. And it really started from then, and to have got the 50,000 grant, as Malcolm just told you, and now it's a living document. It's there. I occasionally press the right buttons and get on it. I try to survey it, but usually I have to jog my memory and keep going round. But it is. It really is a beautiful, loving document, the website. It's something that Gloucester Rugby Club can be really proud of. And the amazing thing is that anybody in the world can pick on it in this electronic age and read to their heart's content. And you all have the ability to apply for the period that you were connected with Gloucester. And it's great to look around this room here and see the many faces that have enjoyed themselves at Gloucester, as I have. And some have put in many years, like Peter and Mickey Booth and that. And I'm the junior when we go on visits. We love to discuss 50 years ago. And usually we're wrong, but we have a bit of an argument and we put it right. And we're the last, well, I am definitely myself, I'm one of the last of the old farts. But I enjoyed it. And unfortunately, the RFU have gone into a little bit of a difficult time at the moment, but I'm certain it will be solved. It'll take a few years, but it will be solved. But it is a great thing to be connected. Gloucester is a great club. And I'm certain it always will be. So thank you for everybody connected with today. It's very much appreciated. I will just mention one last thing. Through my connection with Gloucester, I became great friends with a gentleman by the name of Nicholas Gold Healy, who had a little shop in the London Road, Gloucester. And in his will, he left me his rugby memorabilia. And amongst that was the jersey, cap and ball belonging to a Duncan McGregor. Now you may say, who is Duncan McGregor? Well, Duncan McGregor was, I think he must have been one of the first New Zealanders that ever played for Gloucester. Although he only played one game, John Hudson will probably correct me, but I think he only played one friendly game in 1905. But Duncan McGregor came across with the 1905 tour inside, and he was an outstanding wing three-quarter. In fact, in the first New Zealand-England game, which was at Crystal Palace before Twickenham had been formed, he scored four tries as a wing three-quarter. And that, if my memory serves me right, was not beaten until about the 1980s when somebody like Joni Olomo beat it. But he came on the 1905 tour, and at that time he became very friendly with Arthur Hudson, who, as been mentioned previously, was one of the stalwarts of Gloucester administration. And they became such good friends that he did play one friendly game for Gloucester. He went back after the tour, back to New Zealand, but he came back then as a renegade, a professional. He got paid £100, and he played in the first New Zealand-England rugby league game, and by sheer coincidence, he played that at the Athletic Ground in Cheltenham, which used to be where Cheltenham played up until about 30 years ago. But he played there, he played also on that ground against Cheltenham, because Cheltenham was quite a prominent club in those days. And then he went back to New Zealand, but he came back with the 1908, and at that time he opened the sports shop in Gloucester, Hudson Sports as it is today, in 1908. But the ironic thing was, when he came back to Gloucester, he didn't come back playing union, of course. He played rugby league. And the team he played for was Merthyr Tydfil. Now, you may think, well, why? How did he come to play for Merthyr Tydfil? Well, at that time, there was a rugby league set up with 26 clubs in Wales, which was quite prosperous for about 5 years. And then, sadly, he got injured and he went back to New Zealand. Then, I don't know what the story is, John Hudson would fill you in, I expect, but these three items, his jersey, his cap, and his rugby ball, were left under a bed in Gloucester, or left supposedly, I think, to somewhere he probably owed some funds, and he did a quick runner back to New Zealand, but they were left, and they were under a bed in Gloucestershire for, must have been 80 years. And they came to light, and to cut a long story short now, I loaned them to the New Zealand Rugby Union. They're on loaned on a yearly basis, and they had them 6 years ago. They were received back in New Zealand by the Prime Minister, Helen Cross, and 20 parliamentarians as the most valuable artifacts of the New Zealand All Blacks. They were then placed in the custody of the New Zealand HQ. They're there at this moment because they said, could they borrow them at least until the World Cup? And now they've been enhanced. And my own gut feeling is they're in the right place. Although they have an association with Gloucester, they're where they should be, in New Zealand, where Duncan McGregor came from. But it's interesting to think that we had links with overseas players going back even to 1905. And although it would be lovely to have them in the archives here, I think you'll agree that probably they are where they should be in New Zealand, and that's where they'll be as long as I feel myself. But to go on then, thank you very much for coming today, all of you. It's nice to see you, Bill Hook, Gordon Sargent, Andy Deacon, Steve Boyle. To look round, the years pass by and they flash by, and we are still here, and we've got a great deal out of this game, and I feel most humbly to have been connected with Gloucester Rugby Club. Thank you very much.